الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد إن شاء الله I want to wrap up the lessons from Surah Yusuf of Yusuf عليه السلام's life today إن شاء الله. Just anecdotal thing with respect to the chronology. Yusuf عليه السلام is before Musa عليه السلام. His father Yaqub alayhi salam was not in Egypt, he was elsewhere, and Yusuf alayhi salam is the first of them who came to Egypt, and then he continued and the people after him continued, and then Musa alayhi salam is the one who led the Bani Israel out of Egypt. So that is chronologically speaking, Yusuf alayhi salam comes before Musa alayhi salam. The other thing is that as far as the whole story of Yusuf alayhi salam is concerned, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it Ahsanul Qasas, the best of stories. And one of the reasons or many why it's called the best of stories, wallahu alam, is the fact that it covers a man's entire life from childhood to adulthood. It's a story where, as you know, it begins with Yusuf alayhi salam as a little child, and the lessons there are in terms of the upbringing or raising of children, the importance of treating children equally, the fact that some children or one child may be a favorite, that this is natural, this can happen, but in the treatment of the child, that is, favorite is issue of heart, but what you express, what you show in terms of the affection you show, the time you spend, gifts and so on that you might give, the importance of trying your best to make sure that there is equity and that there is equality in treatment of children, failing which it can result in conflict between the children, which obviously the parents don't want. There are no parents who desire for such conflict. But if you analyze the conflicts which happen, and some of those conflicts, as we saw in the case of Yusuf alayhi salam, can be very destructive. The roots of those conflicts lie in the early childhood of the children and in the treatment of parents. What parents do, how they treat children, these can become the roots of conflicts which emerge later on in life, and some of them can be very destructive. We see this in our day-to-day life almost on a daily basis. All the conflicts between adult children, whether it's in division of property or whatever the case might be, if you trace the roots, they go back there to the childhood and how children were raised. Then we have one of the ongoing underlying themes in the whole story is the theme of sabr, of patience with all kinds of difficulties. Yusuf alayhi salam starts right from the beginning, thrown into the well, taken out from there, sold into slavery, and so on and so on. So the issue, and then he goes to prison and everything else for no fault of his, being innocent and being in prison. I mean, it's a double punishment, you know, physical punishment and then mentally, emotionally, you know, I did nothing wrong. Why is this happening? So it's a very difficult thing. So the issue of sabr. Also in that is the lesson with regard to emotional maturity and preparing a person for responsibility in adulthood. Now, in the case of Yusuf alayhi salam, it is also nubuwat, but it does not have to be nubuwat. I mean, now there is no nubuwat. But preparing a person for emotional maturity in their adulthood. For that, the role of hardship, the role of independence, because Yusuf alayhi salam from a young age, you know, the parents, there was no support, no parents, no family. So independence, the role of sabr, of bearing difficulties patiently, whether it's emotional difficulties, whether it's physical difficulties. So all of these things are also lessons. So you might say, well, You know, if I want my child to develop that, do I have to throw the child into a well or do I have to sell the child into slavery? No, obviously not. The point is that how can we, this is a challenge today, how can we, especially for well-to-do parents, you know, where there is money and so on. We see this, I see this in many cases in my consulting practice also, that people, first generation entrepreneurs, they are very wealthy, but they came from nothing. They came literally, many of them were poor, many of them came from, you know, very hard circumstances, and then they struggled and they succeeded, and alhamdulillah, they have wealth. Now when they have children, they pamper those children, they overindulge those children, every desire of the child is fulfilled, whether it is, you know, jaiz or not jaiz, whether it is necessary or not necessary, the children are given the best, and best in the sense of not necessarily best in terms of quality, but in today's world, the biggest brand names and the, you know, so I mean, a person will wear, he doesn't just wear a shirt, he is wearing a shirt with a particular brand name which costs 100 times what a normal perfectly good shirt will cost. The parents don't say, why do you need this brand name? You need a shirt. Well, get you a good shirt. So no, I must have this, you know, Armani or Tommy Hilfiger or, you know, Boss or whatnot. I mean, these are, all of these things have consequences. So parents do all this. Each one gets his own toy, no sharing. The concept of sharing, the concept of using something, which, for example, you know, it is the elder brother's thing or elder sister's thing. Now the younger one use it. It's perfectly good. Nothing is wrong with it. It is not torn or anything like that. Why can't? No, this is not possible. Why? I must have my own. Now all of these things, what are you doing? You are pampering those children. You are making them weak. You are making them incapable of surviving in the real world. So I give the example, I say this is like greenhouse trees. So if you have a greenhouse and in this greenhouse you are growing trees, they look very healthy because they are completely insulated from the natural world. So there is no storm in a greenhouse, there is no, you know, yeah, strong winds.
Summer, winter,
nothing. There's no summer, no winter, no nothing. Controlled environment. They get, you know, as much water as they need. They get nutrients. They get everything. But the moment you remove that greenhouse, the moment they go into the real world, and that there is no escape. No matter how wealthy you might be, you are not going to insulate those children forever in their lives. At some point in time, they have to be in the real world. And then one strong gust of wind and the tree is uprooted and thrown because it has no roots. The roots have not gone down because the roots will go down only when there is enough movement on the top. And to take care of that, to build the strength to stand in the storm, you need deep roots. Deep roots do not happen in a greenhouse because there is no need for that. You are being giving it support from outside. You are putting a whole framework and a skeleton around the tree, so the tree never develops any strength. And this is the biggest problem of raising of children. So now when the children are older, in their 20s and so on, then the parents get into a flap because they say, oh my God, my child is turned out like this and this has happened and that has happened. In many cases, children start becoming atheistic because they never introduce the child to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't never bring the child to the masjid, you never, nothing, there's no, I mean, deen is there more like some rasam or rivaj, you know, this is our culture, right? So on Eid you make nice clothes and go and eat some shir khurma, so this is Islam. But then you realize suddenly one day, what is it that I have done? So it is very important, especially for people who Allah has given wealth, to make sure that the wealth does not become a curse for you and does not become a curse for your children. Make sure that the children are exposed to hardship, not hardship in because they are forced, but because you are, it's part of training. Yusuf alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have done anything he wanted. So Allah does not have lack of resources. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing his anbiya. And this is the story of all the anbiya. They go through a life of hardship, not because Allah cannot give them better than that. No, it's because this hardship is what builds strength. This is what builds character. This is what builds integrity. This is what builds, perseverance and sabr and fortitude. So this is the other very big lesson in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. The third very, very big lesson in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam is the absolute importance of the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over everything else. So whether it is wealth, whether it is the woman coming and tempting him, or whether it is him being in the prison, whatever the case might be, only and only the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah must be pleased with me. Even if I have to go to prison, let me go to prison, but I will not do something which displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if I have this choice, where you do this thing which displeases Allah or you will go to prison, Yusuf alayhi salam said, I prefer the prison to doing what these people are asking me to do. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, for protection from all forms of temptation and the wasafis of shaitan without going to prison. We ask Allah for always for khair. But I'm saying in Yusuf alayhi salam's story, this is something which is so critical and important to understand, that even if it is that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us an extreme example, right? Alhamdulillah, none of us is in that situation. You just think of our own lives. Where is the prison? I mean, all the disobedience of Allah we do voluntarily. We do it without any problem. If we did not do that disobedience of Allah, nobody was going to beat us, nobody was throwing us in prison, and nobody is, you know, standing with a sword to say, I will take off your head, nothing. But we still disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How bad is that? Whereas here is this surah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing Yusuf alayhi salam, even when he had to go to prison, and number of years, it's not a small sentence, you know, God knows, 8 years, 12 years, number of years of prison, he said, no, I don't care. That is preferable to me rather than doing something which is disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the third. So then the other big lesson is, that when you are on the right path, not to believe that this is because of your goodness. Yusuf alayhi salam in Surah Yusuf, the famous ayah, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُوءُ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. That Yusuf alayhi salam says that fact that I was not misled is nothing to do with me. My nafs, which is the nature of my nafs to lead me to sin, illa ma rahima rabbi, except for the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy on. So therefore, he is not saying, you see, look, what a good man I am, I managed to stay away from sin. No, he is saying, this is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept me away from sin. Right? So this is a another lesson from Surah Yusuf. Then the other lesson from Surah Yusuf is the importance of developing yourself, your own competence and so on. Because if you think about it now, Yusuf alayhi salam did not get the governorship of Egypt because he resisted the temptation from that woman. It's not because of that. That is part of the package. Alhamdulillah, he is a man of good character. He got that governorship because of his competence as a governor, which he had to prove without being the governor. This is the first time he's asking for the position. Alright, so it's not a question of saying, I have experience, I have been a governor in 10, 20 countries. Give me, no, I have never done this before. But I can do it. How can you convince somebody who is in a position to give you that that authority to say that, yes, I can do this job? So that means that Yusuf alayhi salam developed his confidence, developed his competence, this knowledge he got from his training and so on while he was living with the governor, and he was able to present his case in a way where he was given this authority, and that's where he got the position and power and so on. So that's another one. Then he discharged his duties with so much integrity and so much and so well. And again, remember, we are looking at, if you look at the time span, it's a long time span, right? From the time he was a little child to this time, even the post governorship, if you look at the it is 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, so 14 years is right there. So the issue of time span is a lot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's time span is long. And then before that 14 years, 10, 12 years in prison. So you got another 10, 12 years. Before that, how many years? So it's a long period of time. But he is able to show his competence and capability during this period also when he is given this authority. Right? So alhamdulillah. And then finally, Very importantly, I think this is probably one of the biggest lessons from Sayyid Yusuf, is the ability to forgive. Is the ability to forgive. Here is this man who was hugely oppressed by his brothers. He is completely innocent. And for no fault of his, whatever the father did or did not do, that is the father's issue. It's not the child issue. The child did not go to the father and say, treat me more, give me more love than somebody else. If the father did it, that is his, that's something that he did. But despite that, so here was Yusuf alayhi salam, here were his brothers who had oppressed him, they tried to kill him. I mean, what more do you want? It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that he did not die. Otherwise, as far as the brothers were concerned, they wanted to kill him. Despite that, when these brothers are now in his power, and Yusuf alayhi salam could have taken revenge, he could have, he need not have done anything, he need not even have taken revenge, he could have just sent them away and said, get out. I don't want to see you, you have nothing to do with me, goodbye, salam alaikum, halas. But what is there? I mean, he did not have killed them or anything. Even this he could have done, and if you look at the story, you would have said, well, the man has a right. After all, why they tried to kill him, so what do you want him to do? But the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam is not only his physical beauty, whatever that was, it is really the beauty, the inner beauty of character, the beauty of his integrity, the beauty of his heart, which is big enough to forgive people who wronged him so tremendously. Not only did they try to kill him, even in the story, like yesterday we heard, even in the story of Binyamin, even there the brothers make a tuhmat, they make a false allegation against Yusuf alayhi salam. Because when Binyamin was caught with the bowl, of course, that again, he did not steal it, this was part of the plan of Yusuf alayhi salam. The brothers say, yeah, he had a brother who was also a thief. La hawla wala quwwata illa billah, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. So again, even at that point in time, they are still lying. Despite that, Yusuf alayhi salam does not punish them. He says, today there is no blame on you, and he is able to forgive them. So this is something which is so tremendous in his character. And then we see the same thing, as I mentioned yesterday, in the character of Rasulullah ﷺ. When the people of Makkah are given into the power of Rasulullah ﷺ, when they are his prisoners, and he could have extracted revenge, and as I say always, Nabi ﷺ need not have killed anybody. He had a right to ask for compensation for his property, for the property of his Sahaba, which was stolen by those people. Rasulullah ﷺ did not even ask for that. He didn't. He could have taken it. Now, what is there to ask? I mean, he is the commander of the army. These people are. He has conquered the place. These people are his prisoners. He could have extracted revenge, or at least he could have extracted compensation, which would have been justice. I mean, if you take something, I take it back from you. That's justice. Even that he did not do. He let them free. He forgave them, and that is what Yusuf alayhi salam also did. So this is the. These are the lessons, as I said. Alhamdulillah. I do not say that these are all the lessons. Wallahu alam, I am sure there are more. But to the best of my ability, whatever I could understand from the surah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to understand the Quran and to practice it in our lives, because that is the purpose of the Quran. The purpose of the Quran is for us to practice it in our lives. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this and for the benefit of that. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.